Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, joined with my co-host for life, Monica Seifker. Thanks for being with us. Well, if you are joining us on the Friday airing of the show, then you know that today marks the commemoration of the joyful feast of the Visitation, one of the most pro-life celebrations in the church. And in honor of this holy day, we've got a very special guest that we'll be bringing on shortly. Laura Muzica, Executive Director for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, will be joining us to talk about her organization's mission, which is to train, equip, and support local communities across the United States and the world in offering loving, life-affirming alternatives to women going into an abortion facility. But before we talk to Lauren, Monica is going to read the account of the Visitation from Luke's Gospel.
And Mary, rising up in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. He hath shown might in his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath received Israel his servant, being mindful of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abided with her for about 3 months, and she returned to her own house.
Let's go now to this week's in the news.
On the eve of the Feast of the Visitation, Louisiana Governor John Edwards signed into law legislation that would ban abortions as soon as an unborn baby's heartbeat is detected. The Pelican State joins an expanding list of state governments that are passing bills designed to get closer to full protection of the right to the life of the unborn. As I prepare to sign this bill, I call on the overwhelming bipartisan majority of legislators who voted for it to join me in continuing to build a better Louisiana that cares for the least among us and provides more opportunity for everyone, Governor Edwards said. Louisiana joins other states like Ohio, Kentucky, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, and Missouri in passing pro-life legislation that seeks to prohibit nearly all abortions in their respective states. And after over 2 years in legal battles, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a ruling on Indiana House Enrolled Act 1337, a pro-life bill that was signed by then-Governor Mike Pence in March of 2016. This past Tuesday, the court reversed the judgment of the Seventh Circuit Court that the fetal disposition provisions of the bill were unconstitutional. The High Court's ruling now means that aborted children in Indiana must be buried or cremated and not discarded with common medical waste. However, in the same ruling, the court failed to grant certiorari for the non-discrimination provisions of HEA 1337 that sought to outlaw abortions based solely on race, sex, or diagnosis of a disability like Down syndrome. Although the court declines to wade into these issues today, we cannot avoid them forever, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote. Thomas went on in his remarks to call out Planned Parenthood and its foundress, Margaret Sanger, for using abortion to further the eugenics movement. Even though the High Court's decision means that the lower court's ruling blocking the non-discrimination clauses will remain in effect, pro-lifers are optimistic that the U.S. Supreme Court will take up a similar case in the future. And finally, approximately 17 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Women and couples came from Kentucky and several Hoosier counties to obtain an abortion there at 421 South College Avenue. It was also noted that women were coming in for abortion counseling. Indiana law requires an 18-hour waiting period from the time of counseling to the abortion. The Bloomington Planned Parenthood also appears to be training abortion workers for other parts of the state or even out of state as new faces arrive weekly in Scrubs. And that's your Weekly in the News.
So, Monica, we've got this great feast of the Visitation that occurs every year in the church on May 31st, and the protagonists in this event are pregnant mothers and their unborn children. So we've got a very pro-life theme going on here. The church tells us that the purpose of Mary's visit to Elizabeth was to bring the unborn Jesus to the unborn John the Baptist so that John could be cleansed from original sin and filled with divine grace. We also see Mary exercising her role for the first time as mediatrix of all grace.
Oh yeah, there's simply a lot going on in this second joyful mystery of the Rosary when Jesus, as a newly conceived unborn child, just as you said, Rhonda, gives sanctifying grace to the soul of John, who leaps for joy in his mother's womb. I mean, this shows so clearly the reality and sanctity of human life within the womb. And what I've always found to be so beautiful is that God chose to use Mary's voice to communicate this grace. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And in an analogous way, Rhonda, sidewalk counselors or advocates hope to fulfill a similar office as they call out to women going into abortion facilities, asking God to use their voice to bring grace, light, and hope to pregnant women and their unborn children. And here to discuss this most important ministry is Lauren Muzica, Executive Director for Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, ladies. Wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us and our listeners about sidewalk advocacy, because it truly is saving the lives of thousands of unborn children and their mothers and going a long way to help end abortion. And we want to hear all about what makes this particular sidewalk counseling so effective.
Mm-hmm. So, Lauren, let's first just start off by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you first became involved in the pro-life movement.
Sure. So, you know, I was always really attracted to the life issue. It hit me at one point in high school, early in college, that if we don't have life, we have nothing else. That apart from Jesus himself, life is our first and greatest gift, right? Mm-hmm. And all of our rights flow from that very first right. And I remember early in college, as a student at Texas A&M University, I was invited by the local Brazos Valley Coalition for Life, an interdenominational, peaceful, pro-life activist organization, to join their Stand and Pray program, to go out 1 hour a week and pray in front of that local Planned Parenthood abortion facility in Aggieland. And then my sophomore year, I was invited to become a sidewalk counselor, and I was trained by a beautiful Baptist woman named Karen Black, who was brought in. She takes a very woman-oriented perspective in sidewalk outreach, which, again, she rightly recognizes that our audience is the mother. If we don't reach her, then we can't help save the life of that preborn child. Later, I went ahead and sidewalk counseled the summer before I went to law school, and the fall when I came back with the Dallas Diocese, trained in the Monsignor Riley method of sidewalk counseling. And so through learning from these other great saints that have gone before us, you know, what it means to go to the darkest places in our communities and offer those loving, life-affirming alternatives. You know, you hear from so many women who are going in that, ironically, they felt like they maybe had no choice. Maybe they're being pressured by a partner or family member, or they're looking at their present self, and it's hard to reconcile that with their future self as they see many times all of their hopes and dreams going up in smoke. And, of course, we know that that's the great lie, that the enemy comes in and he tries to distract them from the fact that, you know, God is with them and that he will help them navigate this, that they can do both, that they can go to school and have their precious child, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got to learn from these other wonderful, you know, warriors, so to speak, on the front lines. And I thought I was going to be a pro-life litigator or lobbyist. I'm a licensed attorney, of course, now in Texas, but it was my friend David B. Wright who, you know, started the very first 40 Days for Life campaign when I was a student at Texas A&M. So my friend Peter and I, again, now Peter's my husband, we have great memories of going out to that very first 40 Days for Life campaign as college students together and praying and covering that facility 24/7 in prayer. And that was really instructive for me, you know, just kind of as a last point here. When I saw the atmosphere go from chaotic and disorganized and apprehensive, you know, and we didn't know how to end abortion in our little community. I would pray so many times, Lord, help me to better reach these women. I feel like no one's coming to the fence to talk to me. And then when 40 Days for Life started in our little college community, the atmosphere became more focused. It was more peaceful, prayerful, and what I call purposeful. And so I watched the transformation in the atmosphere, and all of a sudden women were coming to the fence to talk. And it was just so instructive for me, because even though I had learned from the sidewalk counselors who were, you know, very woman-oriented in their approach, when the atmosphere became more peaceful and safe to women, then women were naturally challenged to explore their very difficult feelings, and they saw us as safe people. And so, you know, from there, learning with 40, you know, from 40 Days for Life, continuing to learn from them, joining the 40 Days for Life national team at one point. I was their campaign strategist advising their 200-plus North American campaigns for over 2 years. And, yeah, and then at one point saw this need and decided to jump in and fill this need in the movement through Sidewalk Advocates for Life.
Okay, now was this the same Planned Parenthood where Abby Johnson worked?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was praying and reaching out to Abby as she was rising through the ranks of Planned Parenthood. So I was part of that community that saw that transformation. Now, I wasn't out on the sidewalk when she left. At that time, I was at Ave Maria School of Law, you know, mm-hmm. working on my JD. But I heard about it since I was still, you know, connected. And it was just amazing to come back to Texas after getting my law degree and seeing all of that come full circle. At that point, Abby was releasing her book, Unplanned. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, what a thing to witness, you know, as a college student. I mean, how instructive to see how that peaceful, prayerful atmosphere had brought about so much transformation in our community and in the very lives of Planned Parenthood workers as well.
Oh, yeah, that's so awesome. And hey, and I want to tell you a testimony to your lawyer ability. I was at the rally in Philadelphia, Lauren, and heard you speak there. And I loved
it. That was a lot of fun. And
it was, wasn't it? I loved your comment. You said, I flew all the way to Philadelphia from Texas to give Mr. Sims a civics lesson. And I just was, I rolled up to you. Go, Lauren.
Yeah. It was funny because it was actually Abby who called me and said, hey, you know, I'm tapping you on the shoulder here. You've got sidewalk advocates in this community. And I'm just not somebody that likes to insert myself.
Uh-huh.
She said, well, you know, you're speaking right alongside me, so I hope you can make it. So, I mean, how ironic to have stood in front of her facility, prayed for her for so long, reached out to her with the community, and now we're sisters in this fight together, and she's one of our program advisors in Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I mean, only God can write such a story, right?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
So, Lauren, how did you go about starting Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and what year did you guys start?
Sure. So when I was with 40 Days for Life National for over 2 years, you know, I got a front row seat to seeing what was going on in communities across the United States and beyond. And what we noticed was some folks were finding some good sidewalk training, sidewalk advocacy training or sidewalk counseling training, as they called it. But then they were fizzling out because they didn't have infrastructure or support behind them. We know that this is a spiritual battle, and it can be hard for a group of volunteers to come together and to figure out, well, where do I find training? I've got to, you know, invent these tools. They're finding support from one another. And so a lot of them, you know, were starting and then they were fizzling out pretty quickly. And so, you know, we had the thought in 40 Days for Life, well, what if we could provide for them, you know, what 40 Days for Life provides for them as far as building a vigil goes. But at one point, you know, David and Sean really felt like their call was to strengthen the prayer presence, strengthen the prayer campaigns throughout the year. And so then that was kind of put on my heart, you know, well, if I'm going to do this, apparently I have to do it outside of 40 Days for Life. And so I had their blessing at one point to leave and to look at filling this need. And so we started in April of 2014. We launched with 22 locations. And as we sit here today, we're almost at 200 locations around the globe.
Wow,
of course, the vast majority in the United States being that this is our backyard. And so in 5 years, the Lord has saved almost 6,500 babies, We've helped 63 abortion workers leave the business, and we turned them over to Abby Johnson's Abortion Worker Ministry, and then there were none, which you can learn more about at abortionworker.com. We keep track of hopefuls. We continue to pray for those women who leave to think about it. We even keep track of turnaways, those that didn't know whether or not they were pregnant, but they were turned away with an offer of a free pregnancy test and sonogram. And then we celebrated 14 facility closures. So, you know, really trying to come alongside moms and dads and businessmen and, you know, people who are running their own companies and retired folks and whatnot, people of all walks of life who can be really overwhelming to start your own sidewalk counseling team mm-hmm. on the sidewalk. So we really wanted to fill that gap and provide that need as best we could.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing a great job of it too. So, oh, yeah. But now, Lauren, hopefully most of our listeners already know at least a little bit about Sidewalk Advocates for Life because we're doing this program here in Bloomington and for a number of years now. But all the same, so tell us, what is sidewalk advocacy and how does it work?
Sure. So sidewalk advocacy is really about going to where abortions are taking place and offering every abortion-minded woman and man and any client that's going in, even for so-called other services, loving life-affirming alternatives to abortion or providing life-affirming health care for them. You know, sometimes we use the term sidewalk counseling, sidewalk advocacy interchangeably, but we wanted to create a new term that really expressed the peaceful, prayerful underpinnings of this activity so that we could really brand what that's all about, right?
Mm-hmm. So did you think that sidewalk counseling has been given a bad name? Would you say that? That's
so
why you wanted
I think
to
in some cases it has. Now, I don't want to demean the term because, like I said, we use it interchangeably. And many of our program advisors call what they're doing sidewalk counseling, and they're very peaceful, prayerful, and whatnot. But unfortunately, some, you know, aggressive protest-type groups have, you know, hijacked the term and tried to say what they were doing with sidewalk counseling. And so we just kind of wanted to start with a clean slate while also acknowledging that sidewalk counseling largely does mean what you're doing is peacefully offering those loving, life-affirming alternatives. And so, you know, the other thing about that term is that the word advocate or advocacy recognizes that we are truly an advocate for that mother, that child, that family, you know, our community and our culture at large. The other thing this is kind of a nerdy attorney thing, but in some states, you have to be a licensed professional counselor to call yourself a counselor or to say what you're doing is counseling. And since we're more of a nationwide program, we didn't want to run afoul of any, you know, of the laws in any state where we're at. So all of those things in mind, the term for us has just served what we're doing, you know, very well. So we go to the abortion facility, and we like to be that jack of all trades. We're the gateway to those no or low-cost life-affirming resources. So a lot of times, again, for a pregnant woman, that's letting her know about the services at the local pregnancy resource center. For someone who's going in for health care, like a well woman exam, STD testing, or whatnot, we let them know about maybe a pro-life OB-GYN in their backyard that's doing that for a reduced rate or even for free in some cases. Connecting them to other community health centers that can help them with comprehensive health care needs. Because, again, Planned Parenthood is not a comprehensive health care facility. I mean, first of all, we know that what they're doing, you know, 60-plus percent of what they do as far as their, well, 60-plus percent of their clinic income comes from abortion, right? But they love to tote themselves as this great health care provider, and yet they're providing very, very limited GYN services at best. And so we're educating the community when we go out there, and we're letting them know, hey, there is a comprehensive health care facility down the street from you. You know, so if you want to get your well woman not in an abortion facility, here's where they're doing them $25 cheaper down the road. And so we're really serving every single eternal soul who comes across our path. And there's no doubt that there's richer conversations going on. You know, one of my favorite stories came from Stamford, Connecticut, where a woman was going in for birth control. Of course, we don't refer for artificial birth control, noting the abortifacient nature of that quite often, and also, of course, other philosophical concerns. But this, our advocate, Noelle, got into a conversation with this woman, and this woman just started crying and saying that she felt used in her relationship, that she felt like, you know, she had no one to talk to. And Noelle took her out for a cup of coffee, and they had an incredible conversation. She just poured into this woman's life and was able to speak peace into her life and talk about what a healthy relationship looked like. That's not the only example of that. God is using advocates on the front lines each and every day to really stand in the gap and to point them in the direction not only of life-affirming healthcare resources, but also treat that person as the whole person that they are and speaking mm-hmm. words of peace and faith into their life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, Lauren, how is training done for those who are interested in becoming advocates on the sidewalk?
Sure. So we give every location our four-hour training DVD. So that way, you know, I joke that that's the closest thing to by location for those of us on the national team, right? So you don't have to wait for a warm body from a national team member. You know, so Monica in Bloomington, for example, can hold that training without one of us physically being there. But we also do travel and give that training all over the United States very regularly. Once you go through that four-hour training, you are a full-fledged sidewalk advocate. But we also have, you know, advanced training. We give the leader, you know, the online information for that. So a trained advocate at the end of the training, if they want to avail themselves of that, they can dive into this, you know, beautiful library, 20 videos that go deeper on a variety of subtopics in sidewalk advocacy. We now have Spanish training. We've got something called our role-play program, which is a day out on the sidewalk with us. You can actually watch us in action reaching out to clients. Of course, we blurred all identifying client information, you know, faces, names, license plates, and whatnot. You can't even tell who who we're talking to or whatnot. We did so giving proper notice and respecting the laws of that jurisdiction. But you can watch us in action and see the training come to life. You
and
know?
That is a great video, by the way, Lauren. That's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, again, closest thing to by location, right? We haven't figured out how to do that yet. So, you know, the basic training is the bread and butter. And then as we go here and identify the needs of our sidewalk advocates, we're gradually adding other training components.
Okay, very good. And for our listeners, there will be a local training session at St. John the Apostle Church in Ellettsville on Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And our hope is to extend coverage on the sidewalks outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. So, Lauren, how would you respond to the opinion of some well-meaning people that we really shouldn't be bothering women and clients as they go into Planned Parenthood? I know there's quite a few people, it seems like we're harassing them. No matter how kind and loving we are, they just say you're still harassing the women. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd like to introduce them to the 6,500 women who were so glad that we were there. I mean, you know this firsthand, Monica. So many others have said, and you told us stories about women who arrived and said, I was praying for a sign and you were my sign, or I didn't know that all of this help was available. Women, when they find out they're pregnant, of course, many times, you know, if they weren't expecting it, they're immediately overwhelmed and they go into crisis mode. And a woman in crisis mode, sometimes it's so hard to think clearly and to go, okay, let me research all of these incredible resources in my backyard. Sometimes a friend whispers to them, hey, go to Planned Parenthood, $500, nobody has to know about it. Your life will magically go back to normal. And we know that that's just the great lie. And so when we go to the abortion facility, very peacefully, prayerfully, in a law-abiding manner, we're very loving. You know, everyone in our ministry has to sign a pledge of integrity that says that they'll adhere to those values so that they're protected and, you know, the community knows who we are when we're reaching out to women in crisis and men in crisis. We simply want to just be there to offer them other choices, to let them know that they're not alone. And again, we hear from so many women, ironically, who say, I thought I had no choice. Right. And we're showing them how this is possible if they want to just reconsider the life of their child. And so, you know, the way that we do this, we're so careful about the way that we do this, because, again, as it says in Scripture, it is the kindness of the Lord that leads one to repentance. You know, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. We carry all of these great virtues with us as we go out to the sidewalk. You know, famous sidewalk counseling priest Monsignor Riley, as I've been putting together our new basic training, which is actually coming out this summer, we're really excited about that. He talks a lot about, you know, we don't want to get in God's way out there. If we're being ugly, if we're saying ugly things, if we're yelling at people or, you know, doing these things that, again, don't usually win over the hearts of strangers, right, then we're not allowing the space for the Holy Spirit to work. I don't want to do anything to get in his way. I want to create the space that allows a woman to properly wrestle with what it is that she's doing. And so we go out there and we pray and we smile. And in love, we just simply offer resources and we let them know it's possible.
Okay. Can you tell us about one of the most inspiring stories of a mother who has chosen life?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's so hard to pick out one story, right? But maybe I'll talk about one that I was actually involved in. You know, for the longest time, I thought, oh, Lord, it would be so great if I could meet a baby that was saved, you know, with the help of a sidewalk advocate, right?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, Lord, if that takes years or that never happens, that's fine. A lot of our advocates were meeting babies when we on the national team had met one yet, you know, because we just weren't there at the right time when we were doing the training. The mom may not have been available. So anyways, a few of us were out on the sidewalk in Florida one morning. This is actually when we were, you know, serving some of our Florida leaders. And it was Nate, Bethany, and I from the national team. And a young woman and her sister and her boyfriend were going in, and they didn't take information at the driveway, so I invited them into conversation at the fence. And, you know, the sister and the boyfriend were really on the fence, and I reached out to this mom. And again, her story is now public. She shared it openly. Her name is Amber. And Amber was sharing with me that, you know, she had two daughters at home. She was in a committed relationship, and they were even talking about marriage, but this came at a really bad time. She was a working woman, you know, 21 years old, felt like she had her whole life ahead of her, and this just, you know, quote unquote, wasn't a good time. And so I asked her, you know, I let her know about all the pain that came after abortion, all the help that we had available next door. I mean, again, it's funny because I think a lot of times people feel like they have to go out there and they have to say things that would win them an Academy Award, you know, or say one wrong thing, she's going to go have the abortion. It's really just about loving people and just letting them know that you want to save them from that lifetime of regret. And so it really was just as simple as that. And what's interesting is she said, well, maybe I'll go in and just hear what they have to say. And I said, okay, but just know that this facility is known for pressuring women. And this is not about money. This is about you and about the rest of your life and about you having peace in the long run. You know, and I don't know if you've had an abortion experience before, but, you know, at the time she nodded no. So anyways, they still went in, and famous sidewalk counseling priest Monsignor Riley says we should never panic when they go in. We should pray, because he says that over 50% of the women that ultimately chose life through his help were women who still went in and had to experience the darkness of the abortion facility and wanted to be back out on the sidewalk with the pro-lifers. And so that's really a case for maintaining our peace and our prayer and our love and even our professionalism.
Yes.
And so we heard later that when they went inside, again, they felt that darkness, that they were all about money inside. They said that the dad, Charles, went into the bathroom and started sobbing. Oh. He was remembering our words out on the sidewalk. And wow. At one point, so you know, at that point, Nate and I turned to each other and were like, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. So we circled up and we were praying. We hadn't quite said amen. And then they were coming out. And I just, you know, very calmly said, are you ready to take advantage of our help next door? And they nodded and said, yeah,
wow,
we are.
Praise God.
And so we got them next door. You know, Nate formed a relationship with Charles. It was really great having a man out there just to reinforce that, protect us, but also build a relationship with him. Long story short, little baby Cameron was born it was a year ago this spring. And that summer, Nate, Bethany, and I got to go back to Florida, and we got to meet and hold little Cameron in our arms.
Oh, that is so great. And Lauren, I'm sorry, we're running out of time. It goes so quickly, but thank you so much for being with us today. And once again, I want to remind listeners that we have been speaking with Lauren Musica, Executive Director for Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today on Pro-Life to the Max. And thank you and your entire team for all that you are doing and serving others and helping to build up a culture of life and love.
My pleasure. Thank you too, ladies. Appreciate you.
Well, just as Mary went in haste into a city of Judah to help a pregnant Elizabeth and her unborn child John, perhaps the Holy Spirit is prompting you to go and be a voice to mothers and their unborn children there at 421 South College Avenue. So if you are feeling that tug, the next Sidewalk Advocates for Life training session will be held Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Church. All training materials, as well as a light lunch, will be provided free of charge. We can always use more help, so we invite you to come and see how you can be the hands and feet of Christ to those who are often the least and most vulnerable among us. Thank you so much for being with us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.